The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win a 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code TCESGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up, and Old Fashioned Football is giving away some autographed NFL merchandise. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. That is OFF, stands for Old Fashioned Football Contest, to enter today. And we're also giving away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up link is in our NBA channel on Discord. Yes, 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 it is showtime. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the College Baseball Experience. I'm your host, Noah Bienick there. Sorry for the audio difficulty there. I forgot to play yesterday my interview clips from Michigan head coach Tracy Smith. We'll play those at the end of today's episode. Yesterday's episode went way too long, in my opinion. 1 hour 50 is not the goal of the show, not the target duration of an episode for me. I'm working on that, but as you know, that was the first time we did that format. We are going to run back the same format. Today, there are way less games. Saturday, they were playing many doubleheaders, so most of those game threes from those doubleheaders, or not most, those series that had doubleheaders on Saturday no longer have a game three. So it's cut down on the slate size quite a bit. I noticed a lot of Atlantic Coast series were cut down. But yeah, let's jump into a Sunday slate here. I can touch on some of the bigger scores from the day. We'll run through that real quick. Kind of like how the College Football Experience, College Basketball Experience does. Because like I said, we do have a little bit of a smaller slate on Sunday. Fill up that YouTube chat and I'll hit on the chat right after I read off some of the scores from today. So East Carolina won the first game of their doubleheader today, 11-4 against Wichita State. That was a leg in our parlay. Unfortunately, Coastal Carolina was another leg in the parlay. We'll touch on them in a second. Wichita State made three errors in that game against East Carolina. Ole Miss beat Georgia, which was something that I wasn't expecting. They were one of the three teams that I was like, hey, I think I feel pretty confident in East Carolina, Coastal Carolina, and Georgia winning their game. We had an ECU Coastal that narrowed it down to plus 100, and I was like, that parlay is good enough. Let's ride with that. Well, Georgia would have been another leg lost. They lost the first game of that doubleheader. They won 7-2 in the second leg of that doubleheader against Ole Miss. But yeah, the Georgia offense wasn't like themselves today. Kind of disappointing for sure. Not as explosive as they showed us in that first Friday game for sure. Arizona, shout out to David Mottola. He is in the chat here. Arizona wins 7-1 against Washington State. Stanford 17-5 or Oregon 17-5 over Stanford. We were on Lynn in that game. Kansas State wins 7-2 over Oklahoma State. Once again, I was on Oklahoma State there. Great weekend from the Wildcats to win that series against the Pokes, who coming into the weekend were my favorite Big 12 team. In that second game of the Louisiana Coastal Carolina series, the Chanticleers won 12-10. Louisiana won 8-6 in the second game, though, of the series. They out-hit Coastal Carolina against Fluky too, which was, coming into the weekend, Coastal Carolina's best arm. One of my VSiN, so on VSiN yesterday, I went 3-0 with the picks that I gave out. Florida was one of them. They win the game 6-2. Cags goes 5 strong, gave up 2 runs. That game was interesting because Vanderbilt's starting pitcher, J.D. Thompson, was removed from the game for sticky substance. So you thought it was out of the game of baseball, eh? North Carolina 14-3 over NC State. They salvage a game. They do not get swept in that series. Virginia broke our hearts. They score 1 in the 11th to walk it off, 8-7 over Georgia Tech. Our Yellow Jackets plus 230 in a dream fell just short there. Alabama 10-9 over Texas A&M in game 3. Like I said yesterday, that was a real toss up because they have been playing very good at home. They out-hit Texas A&M, a very good Texas A&M offense, 16-11. And once again, you hit the road in college sports, you lose. They lost 1 of 3. That's all you can ask for when you're playing a number one ranked team in the country. Just take 1 of 3 games, honestly. Good weekend from both teams for what they were probably expecting there. East Carolina 11-7 over Wichita State in that second game of the series there. Florida State won the first game of the doubleheader against Wake Forest 9-6, out hit them 13-7 there. They scored 3 runs in the 9th. So that game was actually kind of wild. That half inning, Wake Forest scores 3 runs in the 8th to tie it up. And then Florida State scores 3 in the top of the 9th to win it. In the second game, however, Wake Forest won on a walk-off 10-9. Yeah, that series was very fun to watch. My dad got his first look at Cocaine Cole Rowland, which he gave up a solo shot in the 9th, but I think he had 2 Ks and a fly out there in his appearance. Virginia Tech wins a low-scoring game against Duke. That caught me by surprise, but they did have their ace on the mound, so I stayed away from Duke. The Hokies win that game 2-1. Clemson stomped on Pitt 9-2. They outhit them 14-5. But in that first game of the day, so that was the second game of the doubleheader. The first game of the day, Pitt wins 8-4. Aiden Knock in that second game, Aiden Knack, however you pronounce his last name, he was great. Through 5 innings, he was basically untouched. Cal stole another game from Oregon State this weekend. Impressive weekend by the Golden Bears. Oregon State made 2 errors in that game. Tennessee, they come through for us. That was also another VSiN lock of mine. Tennessee 9-4 over Kentucky with Drew Beam on the mound. He did give up 2 runs in the first, but Tennessee, they scored 6 runs in the first 2 innings and did not look back. South Carolina beat Arkansas in that first game of the day, which was the one that we gave out on this show and on VSiN. So yeah, 3-0 on the VSiN picks. South Carolina won 6-3, even though they were out hitting that game. A huge 6th inning, scoring 4 runs there, helped out the Gamecocks. Arkansas wins the second game of that series, though, 9-6. Arkansas takes 2-3 on the road. Good weekend from them. I thought there's a legitimate shot that they could lose that series. All 3 games were close. That's a good weekend for sure. Checking in with the chat. KG Visuals is in here early. He was going over his lacrosse plays and some of the college baseball plays that he tailed. Alex Yoder tailed some of the lacrosse plays as well that I read off and that KG Visuals included on the show. James Roberts, he's happy that we're doing another college baseball episode this weekend. Hey, I have to deliver for you guys this weekend because next weekend, I've already said it already on this weekend's shows, the NFL draft is in Detroit. That is like a once in a 30-year thing. I don't know when it's coming back to Detroit, so I'm definitely going downtown and losing a couple brain cells with some buddies of mine. I honestly don't know how many shows I can deliver next weekend. I don't even know if I'll be able to deliver the Thursday night one for Friday picks. We may just do a Wednesday episode for the entire weekend, kind of like how the Thursday shows are, previewing Friday's games in the entire weekend. That may be the format for next week. But like I said, trying to secure some interviews for the beginning of the week there as well. let's hit an ad real quick, and then we'll be home free talking about all of the Sunday games coming up. So the puck drops on the Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend. Today's games were great. I had eyes on the Isles and Canes on my phone. I was out and about today. I told you guys I had prior plans. By the way, allergies acting up big time. 2 days ago, I was outside covering the Michigan-Ohio State game. 70s. It was beautiful. Today, mid-30s. Like, my nose is just running like crazy, and with me, I have an active cough pretty much at all times. So when my allergies are going, my cough is also going. But the guys on the Hockey Gambling Podcast, they have you covered when it's coming to the Stanley Cup playoff time. You know, Talon, Ryan, Joel, they're breaking down every series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And the College Baseball Experience is also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting for you. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports daily, and playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match some of your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Personally, back in the winter, I was writing daily, nightly articles for college basketball from December to February. And each game that I'm going to this spring, I am going to be making a video giving out some Underdog baseball picks, or baseball isn't going to be timely enough to bet on. We'll venture into some playoff hockey. That's what I prefer over playoff basketball. So Underdog Fantasy's Pick'em Special, that has already passed, but you can still sign up with our promo code TCSGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code TCESGPN. All right, we're home free. Let's dive into some games here. The first one on our slate is the coin flip series itself, Houston at Cincinnati. This one last night gave me some fits trying to pick it. Don't feel really comfortable taking either side. I'm checking in on that score. That wasn't one of the ones that we breezed through at the beginning. Cincinnati won 5-4. So again, very, very close contested series so far in the first two games. I think Cincinnati has the series locked up. So you also have this angle here with Houston trying to salvage themselves from being swept. So yes, game one, Cincy won 6-4. Game two, Houston wins 5-4. Maybe the Chili's affecting the Cougars just a little bit. We're going to pull up our screen share system here and get to handicapping this game a little bit because this is bettable. We have a minus 120 on Houston, plus minus 120 on Houston, minus 110 on Cincinnati. And here we go. All right, our good friends over at Friday Starters, who offer us, you know, just one centralized location to look up the entire starting rotations for some of these teams. Let's go into the Big 12. We have starting for Cincinnati, Tommy Boba against Antoine Jean. Both of these guys have kind of underperformed my expectations. Antoine Jean was the Friday guy at the beginning of the season for Houston. Boba's been a name that I've been familiar with the last two seasons. Let's look at Antoine Jean first, because I would immediately lean towards Houston winning game three. I don't think just on paper Cincinnati's good enough to sweep here. Antoine Jean's 2-2 with a 3.43 ERA and 9 starts this season, 45 strikeouts, 15 walks, and 39.1 innings with a 3.29 CR. He's been very solid this year. Again, I don't feel too comfortable putting money on the series, but you know, Jean, I don't know why he was moved out of the Friday role. He had two bad starts against TCU and Texas Tech here. But his last start against Texas was all right. He went 4.2, only gave up 2 runs. He had 6 strikeouts in that game. So I like Houston here. That's going to be my pick for the picks page. Again, picks page is free to view. For all of, I'll guarantee you, I'll have all of the money lines that are offered picked on this site. Locks next to the pick means that I personally have money on the pick. So we're going with Houston minus 110 there, and we're going to move along to the next game that is being offered. Where are we at now? So many games off the board in the country tomorrow, it looks like. The next game is the one that I'm planning on being at in Ann Arbor once again for game three, the rubber match between, the Great Lakes rivals in the Big Ten, the game on the diamond. Ohio State is once again plus 100, Michigan minus 130. Bookmakers were obviously just a little lazy in this series, just slapping together minus 130 plus 100 in every single one of these games for this series. Michigan's got the pitching advantage in this game with Mitch Voit going. He's their best starting pitcher. Mitch Voit is basically our Kroger brand Jack Caglione. This season, Voit is 5-3 on the mound in 9 starts with a 5.53 ERA, 38 strikeouts, 11 walks in 57 innings. He's got a 4.30 Sierra. And DeVoot, he's a freshman for Ohio State, doesn't have many innings under his belt so far this season. 2-1 with a 1.54 ERA. This is going to be his fourth start of the year, 14th appearance, 23.1 innings. He's got 18 strikeouts, 14 walks with a 4.97 Sierra. I'm taking Michigan here just because I've taken Ohio State in the first two games, knowing that when Michigan trotted out Voit, that I'd be on the Wolverines. And once again, like, Michigan's bullpen ERA 6.19, but Voit is going to eat some innings up for the Wolverines. Ohio State's the unit that I'm a little bit more worried about here, 5.58, because their starting pitcher isn't really a true starter. He's only averaging 23 divided by 13. He's only averaging like an inning and a half per game. Actually, yeah, less than 2 innings per game. So it's going to be a bullpen game for Ohio State there. I'm on Michigan for this game. Let's mess around here with our buddies over at College Baseball Insiders matchup true percentage tool here. We're going to go Michigan, Ohio State. Michigan's best, most experienced starter. Where is Voit? Voit here and DeVoot there. What do they got? Minus 139 for Michigan. I think that's the correct side. Not going to put any money on it, but I think that's valid. Michigan is going to be the pick there for me. Let's check up on the YouTube chat, see how people are doing. It's 12:41, so let's go back 5 minutes here. Tanix Caesar, he's in the chat today. He says, hammer the Beavs today. They can't get swept, right? We'll get to that game in a little bit. KG Visuals is going to be on the Beavs. He says, ride them into the ground. Yeah, we'll have to find a parlay or something to throw the Beavs in. I've really liked Cal in that series. Once again, like I was all over Ian May and his appearance/start today. And I thought he was going Friday. Everything that I had looked at led me to believe that he was going to throw Friday. And Cal won that game too. So Cal's up 2-0 on Oregon State this weekend. Roger Long says, I don't do college baseball, but I'm glad there are guys like y'all that are doing the deep dive. Indiana State seems good again. I'm nodding my head yes for those that are listening to the podcast. That is the extent of my knowledge. Yeah, they run the Missouri Valley. I think the baseball gods are on their side. I'm just going to say that after last year with the whole, they had to give up their host in the Super Regional to TCU because they were hosting the Special Olympics. From what it sounds like, that's an annual thing. So that's once again going to be an issue. Right now they're going to be, like, if the season was to end today, they would be a regional host. And if they were to win the regional, they would then have the opportunity to host Super Regionals, but I don't think they would be able to based on, I think they're hosting the Special Olympics again. Oscar Robles just tuned in. He goes, Noah, let's go. Iowa on Sunday, Jeremy Kuntz. I believe he's a Hawkeye. Jeremy, do you know by, so if you follow baseball, let me know, has something happened to Brody Brecht? He wasn't included in this weekend's probable pitching starting rotation. Oscar Robles says, let's ride Iowa. We'll get to that Iowa game. It will be offered on this slate for sure. The next game, we're going in chronological order. Boston College at Notre Dame. Here we go. BC and Notre Dame. Who won this game, too, by the way, on Saturday? Notre Dame won 9-4. They put up four runs on John West on the first inning. That's impressive. Impressive for sure. So I think they're up 2-0 in this series, right? Yeah, they won 14-3 by run rule in seven innings on Friday, and they won 9-4. So you have a Boston College team that has been solid this year. They're 20-18 overall, but they're trying not to get swept here in South Bend. Starting for Notre Dame is, so these are not confirmed, but we're going to go with Rory Fox, who started game three last weekend against AJ Colarusso. I'm familiar with that name for Boston College, but that's not confirmed, but that's what we're going to go off of when handicapping this game. Both of these guys, so Colarusso, both of these guys have a good amount of innings under the belt. Rory Fox is just over my 30 inning threshold that I pretty much hold starting pitchers to. Rory Fox, he's a sophomore right-hander, 1-1 with a 6.39 ERA for Notre Dame, 24 strikeouts, 11 walks in 31 innings. He's got a 4.57 Sierra here. And now we're going to AJ Colarusso for the Eagles. He is a sophomore lefty, 3-4 with a 6.50 ERA, both starting pitchers with ERAs above six here, 40 strikeouts, 22 walks and 44.1 innings with a 4.38 Sierra. Let's double check the bullpens here. I don't remember kind of how solid or how bad these teams are. Notre Dame 6.45 on the weekends, Boston College 6.82. So very, very even. This is a coin flippy game, kind of just like the Houston Cincinnati game. I'm going to pick Notre Dame, just handicapping the series wise, or not Notre Dame. Sorry, I'm going to pick Boston College, just handicapping this series-wise. I don't think Notre Dame is good enough to sweep a baseball team in the ACC. That's just how it is for me. Them being up in both games here, they've probably exhausted the better bullpen arms that they have, the better options that they have, whereas Boston College waiting for the lead, even if they don't really have a lead throughout game three, they will be using better options out of the pen than Notre Dame will be. Game three here, Duke is -130 against Virginia Tech. Duke's bullpen is just on paper much better than Virginia Tech's, in my opinion. The Hokies 4.90 ERA, Duke 3.87. Who do we got starting this game? TBAs for both. Duke, that's typical. Virginia Tech, I don't know where Wyatt Parliament has gone. He pitched in the Friday game. I do not remember how long he went. So him not starting a game is stunning to me in a weekend for Virginia Tech against Duke, who's top three team in the ACC for sure, but probably the second best team currently behind only Wake, who they have a head-to-head series victory over. Wow. So I'm a big boxing fan, for those that don't know. And Ryan Garcia just scored a knockdown against Devin Haney, for those that are interested at all in kind of the Instagram fest that's going on there. And Garcia was docked for a point. Great. So you get a good score, buddy, and then you give away a 2-point run. So yeah, I'm on Duke here. Do I want to bet the -130 at English Field on the road to win the series? Is the question. Because Virginia Tech is like a Kentucky of the SEC. They have more losses in conference than a Kentucky of the SEC. But they're hitting solid. They're pitching well. I don't love their rotation. I don't love their bullpen. But they're defying the odds to me. Virginia Tech, 996 OPS. Duke is in the 10s. Oh, 960 now. So that must have updated throughout this weekend series. 126 WRC plus for them. Virginia Tech, 131. I'll take the plus money with the home team here. Virginia Tech, we'll give them a shot to pull it off. I think if you're actually going to bet that, wait, because Duke is going to catch money tomorrow. Duke will be the, if not the popular bet, you will see somebody throw it around, like that they're going to be on the Blue Devils, that they're going to win the series at Virginia Tech. That's just kind of my opinion that what will happen. But in a game that both teams have a TBA, nobody knows what they're going to do here on the mounds, not even their staffs, coaching staffs. I like the home team. Well, we're going to go with Virginia Tech there. Tennessee at Kentucky. We're going to take Kentucky. I immediately know that because I picked them to win the series, and I picked Tennessee to win game two here with Drew Beam on the mound. I thought that was the pitching matchup that suited them best. But Mason Moore is, in my opinion, Kentucky's best pitcher, and he's coming off a bad start against Auburn. Xander Seacrest is by far like kind of – the guy that has benefited from some injuries to get into the rotation, and he hasn't done enough to lose the spot in the rotation. However, I don't think his time is long there. Mason Moore is the guy that I like the most on Kentucky's pitching staff. And he is the cover boy / thumbnail for the Cats. Mason Moore, not related to Christian Moore, who's also on the thumbnail for Tennessee. Mason Moore, right-handed junior with a 7-0 record, 3.45 ERA, 43 strikeouts, 22 walks, and 47 innings with a 4.08 Sierra. And he's going up against Xander Seacrest of Tennessee. He himself, he's a senior left-handed pitcher, 1-0 on the year, 3.34 ERA and 9 starts, 37 strikeouts, 6 walks, and 32.1 innings, 2-4 Sierra there. Very impressive line from Seacrest. But like I said, he was starting in the midweeks. Tony Vitello didn't really think much of Seacrest because he's been on the staff for Vitello for quite a few years and never really got the weekend promotion. The only reason why he's in there this year is due to injury. I'm on Kentucky here. I'm not going to bet it. If Tennessee wins, it's not going to surprise me. But I like the Cats. Let's check in on the YouTube Cats real quick, or the YouTube Cats, the YouTube chats real quick. Oscar Robles, he goes, oh shit. That might've been to me talking about the boxing. Maybe. I don't know. Matthew Durkee says drywall is looking great. Love the college experience. Love it, Durkee. You could tell he's been around since the basketball season for sure. Tanix Caesar says, I'm a Vol and fully ready for you to pick against us today. Yeah. And I take it you've probably listened to the show throughout the week and just me talking maybe on VSiN or something. But yeah, I've voiced my opinion on the Tennessee Kentucky game for quite a while. Robles says, you're full of knowledge. It's insane. I do my best just because there's not many people covering college baseball. There's an opportunity. I've told this story before. Nobody was covering college baseball betting. And that's where us at the College Experience thought we could just slide right in because we were already doing it with football and basketball. But our plans are to become one of the bigger and better college baseball shows out there. Now, sorry, mailman Mike 3. Noah, I'm only here to see how the Wi-Fi is working out today. It's been good. My mom, so her friend is turning 50, and their group does vacations together every other year. So they're celebrating a 50th on a cruise. So my mom and her couple of devices are now out of town for the next week. So Wi-Fi should be solid. But then again, I'm not here for next weekend because I'll be at the NFL draft. So it is what it is. Mike says the surprise show. I love it. He goes, what picks have I missed? Any locks yet? No, I haven't found any locks that I truly love. If anything, I just gave out probably my favorite pick so far with Kentucky minus 115. I think Mason Moore has the edge on the mound starting pitcher wise. Tannic Caesar says, as of all I can say so far with Sechrist, the plan has been to stay as long as possible until Snead can get in. We also haven't used Kirby yet. That's good to know about Kirby Connell too. He's been around since 2022, very reliable relief pitcher for sure. Another reason to give to me to not bet on Kentucky. But like I said, with the 11.7 pick'em contest, I've already voiced my opinions that I have Kentucky winning game three here. C. Smith says, is Mississippi State going to be one of those locks tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to carry that over. I bet them against Auburn here today. The game was rained out. We're going to run that back on Sunday for sure. So we haven't got to that game yet. I don't really know what the pitching matchup is going to be for either team. Auburn can't figure out their pitching situation at all, so it doesn't really matter to me. Give me that first game when Gerangelo Sanchez starts. The matchup don't matter. Bet on that one, and then we're good. Georgia Tech and Virginia. All right, so we have some bookmakers learning their lesson here after the heart attack that Georgia Tech probably gave them after we gave them out on the show last night. We had them plus 230. They go to the 11th inning against Virginia, and they lose on a walk-off. Who is going? I doubt Georgia Tech knows what they're doing in game three here. I'm just going to put that out here right now. Georgia Tech. Oh, they do. Virginia's the team that doesn't know what they're doing. All right. Where's Jay Woolfolk at? Ryan or Tate McKee, freshman right-hander is going for Georgia Tech. Let's check in on Tate real quick. So it looks like Haney's winning that fight against Garcia. Even though he was knocked down, he's got the rounds built up where he's still going to win. It's going to piss off the TMZ crowd for sure, knowing that Garcia landed a knockdown. But Garcia's done much better than I thought he was going to do. Because if I thought he was going to be competitive, I wouldn't have started this show yet. I would have been watching it. Georgia Tech. For Tate McKee, he's the freshman right-hander. He's 3-3 with a 5.70 ERA, 34 strikeouts, 13 walks in 23.2 innings. Sierra 2.9 for him. We're going to check in on both of these bullpens again. Virginia's is a little bit better than Georgia Tech's, right? Virginia 5.92, Georgia Tech 5.59. No, it's not. Yellow Jackets have been a little bit better than the Cavs. I'm going to take plus money again. Haney went down again in round 10. Is this a 10 or a 12 round fight? So Haney's been down twice. I think that's honestly like the first two times he's been knocked down in his career. And he had a couple of victories over, if not a couple, he had one. And it was the only time they fought. But in the amateur ranks, Haney had his way against Garcia. I got a text real quick. I'll answer this and then get back real quick. All right. So the next game on our list here is Maryland plus 135 at Nebraska. Nebraska let us down on Saturday. They lost. They got smoked by the Terps. This is one of those scenarios where if Nebraska has a good pitching situation on the mound to start, they probably have the better bullpen arms to come out of relief, given that they probably just phoned it in after losing like 17 to whatever. Both teams have TBAs. That's going to be something that I stay away with or stay away from. The Cornhuskers lost 11-2 to Maryland today. Maryland was up 5-0 early. So Nebraska probably did not exhaust anybody, in my opinion. That is of importance to them. And their bullpen's pretty damn good this year. 4.22 ERA. Nebraska is going to be the pick there. That's going to be a fringe lock at the end of the show. We'll keep that one in mind because I don't know how many of these scenarios or games I'm willing to bet if these teams don't even know who they're going to start on the mound. Louisville, plus 100 at Miami, minus 130. That game was going on, and I lost track of where it was going because the Wake Forest-Florida State game was so great. 10-inning game, Louisville wins 6-5 at Miami. That's a series victory for the Cards on the road at Mark Light, isn't that? Yes, it is. So they beat Miami 9-5 on Friday, 6-5 in extras on Saturday. Miami's very, very strong. They're a good team at home. You know, they're under 500 for the year, but at home, they are super solid. I think they've only got four losses now at home. Who are they starting? That's probably a team that I'm looking to back against. Louisville. I think Louisville, if I remember correctly, have a TBA going in game three. I zoomed by it. Carson Liggett is making his return today. Okay. And Herrick Hernandez is going for Miami. He's been their typical game three starter the entire year. Carson Liggett was my favorite arm for Louisville coming into the season, and he just kind of disappeared. The NCAA database currently says that he's carrying a 7 ERA. We're gonna double check that with 6-4-3 charts real quick. 684. See, I don't trust the NCAA a ton when it comes to anything, and definitely college baseball stats for sure. Liggett is 2-2 on the year, 684 ERA. This is going to be his seventh start. So yeah, they just probably took him out of the bullpen the last couple, or brought him out of the bullpen the last couple of weeks. But he's making his return to the starting side. 24 strikeouts, 8 walks in 26.1 innings. He's got a 398 CR there. So, actually, just under the hood, he's been much better than perceived ERA-wise. Herrick Hernandez. I might not end up betting Miami. Hernandez is a junior lefty. I think he came from the JUCO ranks. 2-4 with a 5.96 ERA, 63 strikeouts, 19 walks in 45.1 innings. No, Herrick's been pretty solid this year. That's a good line, 63 strikeouts in 45 innings. He just hasn't had good offensive luck with Miami on the mound, and that's weird because he starts the third game of the weekend for Miami, and that typically means that they're going up against the weakest starters, but he's obviously getting into some trouble. He's given up 30 runs in 45 innings. I don't think it's good enough for us to bet Miami here, but I'm going to pick Miami in this game. I got my boss right now tweeting out, is Haney still alive? Yes. Haney's banked some rounds, even though he's been knocked down. And the one other knockdown round that Garcia won, he gave it back with a point deduction. I don't know what happened there, but yeah, he was deducted a point. So we're going to go to TCU, Texas for game three. Texas won 7-0 today. TCU won game one, 5-0. And Texas has LeBaron Johnson going on the mound for them. He has not been great recently, has not made it past the third inning with the Longhorns there. And we had Jake McKeever from College Baseball Central on our show earlier this week. And he was just basically detailing that LeBaron's problems have been pitch count wise. Teams are just working his counts, and he hasn't been able to extend into innings or extend into games too long. Mason Bixby is a name to remember. Okay, so he's a gigantic freshman. I think he's like 6'7", freshman right-hander for TCU. Not too many innings under his belt, but when I've seen him in like not in person, but when I've seen him pitch, it's been very, very impressive. So not looking to bet this game either. Bixby is going to be a name to remember for years to come, for the next two, especially when he's in college baseball. We're gonna pick Texas. Texas has been more reliable to me, bullpen wise. I think it's a toss up, but when it comes to the lineup, Texas has the edge. When it comes to TCU playing on the road, they've only got 3 wins on the road all season long. Give me the Longhorns here. The next game is at 2 p.m. Auburn +140 at Mississippi State -175. I talked about this one earlier. We're going to lock this one up. Gerangelo Sanja against whoever Auburn tosses out there. We're going to take Mississippi State every day of the week and twice on Sundays, which tomorrow is a Sunday. Let's check in on the YouTube chat real quick. C. Smith says, we hit that one at the end. Mike, a lot of great calls yesterday, bud. Thank you very much. Garcia just landed another knockdown in the 12th round. He's going to win the fight. Ryan Garcia is going to win the fight. Wow. I just lost some money there. Florida was big. Georgia Tech was close. Yes, it was, Mike. I had Haney by decision. That's tough. Oh, well. KG Visuals says Miami, Boston College, Oregon State moneyline parlay for tomorrow. It's the desperation win parlay. I like that. Both teams, or all 3 teams, down 0-2 in their series. It's a good angle. It is a great angle for sure. I have a feeling Oregon State's going to end up in a parlay of ours, the podcast parlay at the end of the show. Kansas Baylor, true toss-up series in my opinion, but the Saturday game did not go that way. Or the Friday game was a blowout by Baylor. Kansas is currently leading 8-4. It doesn't look like it's gone final yet. But Kansas will chalk this up to a Jayhawk victory and go look at their scenarios for game 3. This is 2 starting rotations that I don't think have been very solidified outside of Friday's games very often so far this year. Yeah, Kansas has a TBA. And Baylor's going to trot out a freshman, Mason Green, here. Freshman lefty. He does have 30-plus innings under his belt for the season. Let's look at Mason Green real quick. He is 1-4 on the year with a 5.68 ERA. 28 strikeouts, 16 walks in 31.2 innings with a 4.37 ERA. It's solid. It's solid. They're the home team. Let's look at the bullpens real quick. Kansas is a 4.87 ERA bullpen. And Baylor 5.96. Kansas bullpen has been a run better. The offense is going to win the game 3 in this series. Baylor having the lead for most of game 1, blowing out Kansas. Kansas probably is exhausting some of their better bullpen arms in game 2. It's harder to trot back some of your better arms on back-to-back days. Baylor, if anything, is going to have a bullpen advantage. 797 OPS offensively for Baylor this season. Kansas isn't too much better, right? 910 OPS. It's quite a bit better. Kansas 117 WRC plus. This is, my gut tells me Baylor. It is just truly a rock fight between two of kind of the worst programs in the Big 12 right now, man. We're going to go Baylor. Not convinced either way on that. Sounds like Garcia's or Haney's finishing round 12 pretty well there. Rutgers, Iowa. In the Big 10. So this is the where is Brody Brecht game, and he's going up against whoever starts. He's going up against Christian Coppola, who has not been impressive so far this year. But in the offseason, or in the last summer, he was pitching for Team USA. He had a stellar freshman year. The talent is there. It's whether he can put it together. He's pitched 39 innings this year. Christian Coppola, 6.50 ERA, 3-3 with a 41 strikeout, 29 walk ratio there, 39.2 innings, 4.55 Sierra. Let's take a look at the bullpens real quick. Rutgers, 5.08. Iowa is terrible at 6.19. Let's go to the offenses. Iowa, 114 WRC plus. Rutgers, 116. It's close. What happened on Saturday between the two teams here? I won 15-5. No run rule in the Big Ten there, because they were up 10 at the end of 7. It's a good day from the Iowa offense. Just analyzing that a little bit. Rutgers probably punted that game. They've lost 8-1 and 15-5. So they probably haven't used some of their better options out of the pen, whereas Iowa has probably exhausted every option with a lead so far this series. So I would definitely lean Rutgers here. They're going to have more options, more reliable options out of the pen for sure. And their offense has been slightly better this year, not tremendously better. But I think Rutgers is a good enough program to not get swept on the road. That's just me. Rutgers has been one of the better baseball programs in the Big Ten in the last half decade. So we're going to take them not to get swept there. LSU, Missouri. Did they play today? I didn't have any eyes on this game if they played today. Missouri won 8-7. They beat Holman. Did Holman start this game? They beat Holman. They put up three runs on Holman in the first two innings and had a four spot in the fifth. They had 10 hits against LSU's 9. And LSU doesn't have a game 3 start. LSU has lost like every Sunday game this year. Ryan Garcia won. Missouri plus 135 on the money line is probably going to be the look for me. Yeah, both teams have announced to be announced guys for this game. Ryan Garcia wins on decision 112-112. So one judge had it tied. Then he won the other two cards, 114-110 and 115-109. It's a good win. I think that's he doesn't take the belts because he was way overweight, but it's impressive. I'm a Lomachenko fan, so I was kind of disappointed to see Haney lose. We're going to take Missouri here against LSU. Like I said, let's look up LSU real quick. They struggle on Sundays. So in conference, in the SEC, they're 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5. They're 0-5 on Sundays in the SEC. And we're catching a plus 135 price on Missouri. Give me that. Give me that. We're locking that up. We're locking it up. Shout out to Missouri. They win against Luke Holman. They can win against anybody, whoever starts for LSU. Let's check in on the YouTube chat. That's a lock. That's the first lock we've given up on this show so far today. A Longquist. He goes, hi, sweeties. Shout out to Aveta. She's jumping in here. Hell of a series for your Seminoles up against Demon Deacons. They gave them all they had on the road without two of their weekend starters. It was a good weekend. Christian Holt says Arkansas Woo Pig Suey. Shout out to those Hogs. I have a preseason championship future on Arkansas. We're looking solid. We're looking solid. That's for sure. Next game here, Washington State at Arizona. Arizona's minus 210. Washington State plus 165 on the money line. I think I like Arizona here. They have the much better weekend rotation outside of Friday when Grant Taylor pitches for Washington State. Yeah, Cam Waltie's been super solid his last two outings. Seven innings against Cal that went scoreless. He gave up two runs against Louisiana Tech. This is a parlay piece. Arizona at home is a parlay piece on Sunday. Here the locks are flowing. All right, Louisiana Tech, Dallas Baptist. Okay, so this is game two. This is one of the rescheduled games here. We're going to run back Dallas, or we're going to run back Louisiana Tech. Sorry. That's who I had picked on yesterday's show. We have Luke Nichols going against Jason DeBerry. And Louisiana Tech already has knocked off Ryan Johnson in the series once before. So Louisiana Tech plus 180 is going to be the move there. The Bulldogs against the Pats. We move to the Oklahoma State salvage this series game against Kansas State. If we fall flat on in my favorite team in the Big 12, so be it. But, I mean, Kansas State wins that Jackson Wentworth game, which I was totally thrown off with them starting him, but it sounds like it was a good decision. They got the victory. Oklahoma State has a TBA too. So true toss up between the two teams. I'm going to give the edge to Oklahoma State. You're getting a good price of minus 115. I'm personally not going to bet it. I don't feel as confident enough in them winning that game as they've lost the first two series. And I thought they're, or first two games. And I thought they were going to win those first two games of this series. USC minus 210 against Sacramento State in game three of their series. Where do we have? We don't have USC Sac State on here. Oh, well. I don't have a good enough memory on who's been starting for USC in game three. They've really switched around their rotation so far this year with Caden Aoki, Tyler Stromsburg, and others. So I don't know who's starting game three against Sacramento State there. USC, again, they're not playing any home games this year. So if I've misspoke, it's wrong or incorrect. They're either playing at Irvine or Santa Barbara's field, I believe. No, not Santa Barbara's field. Irvine or LMU's field. Arizona State at UCLA. The bookmakers have learned their lesson on this game where we've taken the Sun Devils in game one and game two, hit on plus money in both of those. And now we get a two toss up in game three, Sun Devils and Bruins. And this is the game where I'd probably lean UCLA with Landon Stump on the mound. Arizona State doesn't really have it figured out on the mound after their first two starters for the weekend. Stump has been average, to say the least, this year. He doesn't have a victory decision wise. He's 0-2 with a 5.21 ERA. It'll be his ninth start of the year. 38 innings, 31 strikeouts, 18 walks, and 4.53 Sierra there. I think I was about to say I think UCLA is going to be able to salvage a weekend, but I don't trust UCLA. 5.04 weekend bullpen ERA. Arizona State 7.41. Arizona State's won the first two games, used probably their better options out of the pen. We'll give the edge to UCLA, but that's not a confident pick at all. Oregon game three against Stanford. Now here's the thing. So Oregon wins game two via blowout against Stanford after Stanford wins game one. Stanford's got the better rotation. Oh, who's going? Nobody's going. It's Dugan. Where Dugan was not in the rotation for this weekend. That changes some things because Stanford has the better rotation than Oregon, but Oregon's got more pitching depth. And their offense has been a little bit better this season than Stanford's. We'll go with Oregon to win the series. Then we get to the Oregon State salvage game against Cal. They 100% have the better option on the mound in this game. Eric Segura, he's a freshman. He's been solid this year. Really stepped up when they needed him after some injuries. And Cal's just totally done. So they've exhausted every solid option that they have on the mound. Not very deep to begin with, but Turkington and May and company, when they have the lead, they've won both game one and game two. I don't expect much on the mound for the Bears. Oregon State is a lock. Minus 175 is bettable alone. So that's a play single wise. And that's also going to be in the parlay. That is my favorite pick of the day with Oregon State. People in the chat, we're talking about it. We're on Oregon State. That's the last game of the day there, Oregon State. So our locks for this show are Missouri plus 135 at home against LSU. Let's go, Tigers. Actually, they're both Tigers. Let's go, Mizzou. Arizona minus 210 is a parlay piece. Oregon State minus 175. So your single locks are Missouri and Oregon State for this show. And the parlay is going to be Arizona, Oregon State. And that comes out to, I'm typing it in right now, to my trusty DraftKings book. We've got Arizona minus 210 and Oregon State minus one. It's moved up to minus 180 now. So currently not minus 175 anymore. It comes out to plus 129. That's going to be the podcast parlay today. Arizona, Oregon State, plus 129. And now let's get into some of the videos that I took. Let's get into some of the videos that I took. Hasty says, what about the Mississippi State Dogs? Where did they go? I didn't lock that one up on my tablet. Yeah, we're also – Mississippi State's the third lock. They're minus 175 as well. I feel better about Arizona and Oregon State in the parlay, though, just because Joseph Gonzalez, I don't know what's been up with him for Auburn, but he is a talented pitcher. I 100% like Sanja more than whoever Auburn's going to trot out, but they do have a joker in their back pocket if – Gonzalez shows up that day. So gives me some pause about including Mississippi State into a parlay here, but minus 175 is bettable. Let's lock that one up. So in review, let's do the review at the end of the show. Yes, it is a doubleheader, Hasty, but game one, Mississippi State's probably going to trot out Sanja, and he's their top option. He's going to go in the game that goes for sure, if you know what I mean. So, like, if there's a chance at all that the second game is not finished, because in college baseball, they fly commercially. Like, you have to catch a flight. So some of the games don't get completed, or if there's expected weather or whatever. But, yeah, like, you are always going to throw that top option on a Sunday in a doubleheader. So Mississippi State is a play for me for sure. Let's talk about, or I mean, let me just, I took these videos in the press room, Michigan, Ohio State in game one. You know, I don't know if it adds too much value. Like, I know a lot of college baseball fans don't really follow the Big Ten as much as they would, like the SEC, ACC and whatnot. But I mean, I have the video. Why not show it? And then we can jump out of here.
Nine had five of seven hits. They batted 500 as a collective.
Real quick, let's go to the beginning.
The bottom of the order today, 7, 8, 9 had five of the team's seven hits. They batted 500 as a collective. What can you say about that group's approach at the plate today against one of the Big Ten's best arms?
Yeah, well, it's the balance in the lineup. We've talked about that quite a bit. I like it. Having some very capable players at the bottom, hitters at the bottom of the lineup. And, you know, we've said, I think the lineup is balanced. It's good. You know, there's a temptation once in a while to move those guys up as they get going, but it's also nice because the middle of the order is going to get on to have those guys back there to drive them in. So, you know, I like it. That's the simple answer too, but it's just, I like the flow and the balance of our offense.
So that first video is Michigan head coach Tracy Smith. I asked him just the bottom of the order, 7-8-9 in the order created all the offense for Michigan in that game against Ohio State, the first one that I was at. Scored all four runs, had all four RBIs. And my favorite player on the team, Kyle Durnetti, who's a transfer in from Oregon State, had three RBI in the game, had some very impressive at bats. And that was my next question here that I asked him. And we'll get into it now.
Durnetti stepped up to the plate three times today with runners in scoring position, delivered three very mature at bats, three RBI. Can you tell us kind of about his addition to this team, maybe as a leadership role, both defensively and today at the plate?
Well, it was something, you know, if you're going to be good, you got to be good up the middle. And certainly it starts in the mound, but the shortstop is such a key position. And Kyle, I said this in the fall, it's a rare thing when you have a guy, one, with his pedigree coming in and playing on a, you know, a perennial top 20 team. He's been in regionals before. He knows what it's supposed to look like. He knows how to direct traffic out there. So to have him out there is a really good feeling. And not just for those, to me, three RBI, but the two out RBI, you know, when you're doing that stuff. So good stuff from a good player. And, you know, we expect a lot out of our older guys and good players. So, you know, good for him, but I'm sure glad that he's manning our shortstop position.
It helps for you, at least, having an early eye on him in the Pac-12, too, right?
Well, yeah. You know, what's it, also get tired of playing against him, you know, come on over here.
Yeah.
No, he's been a wonderful addition and really blended in, I think, to the culture of Michigan as well. And what I was saying about that rare combination, he's good on the baseball field, but he's also a main voice in that locker room. When he talks, people listen to him. And that happened out of the gate. And it's not by what he says or bossing people around. It's about how he goes about his business. And he's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's always given maximum effort in practice. And that's really tough. If you're not doing that, when that guy's doing that, and that's why I love his leadership capabilities.
So, yeah, that was me in the press conference, a couple of questions that I spit over to Tracy Smith, the head coach of Michigan. I had a chance to talk to Durnetti himself and also Will Rogers, the catcher, who trimmed down a lot of, or three, to be specific, three Ohio State runners in stolen base attempts. Ohio State tried to steal five times in the first five innings, and you know, it completely swayed the momentum in the game. We're going to finish with the YouTube chat and then get out of here real quick. Yvetta was talking about how she asked me if I could make Florida State's bullpen not suck. My answer to that is just when you have injuries in the rotation, it pushes some of your better bullpen options into the starting rotation. The bullpen today had seven walks at least in that second game against Wake Forest, and that was the main reason why they lost. Just too many ducks on the pond with good hitters coming up to the plate, and Wake Forest was able to take advantage. And yeah, she's bringing up Cam Leiter and Whitaker returning to the rotation. That's going to make this pitching staff a whole lot better. And honestly, it's just giving good reps to the depth guys in the pen for sure. Trey DeRuin says, Noah, you were the man, won a five leg with the help of Washington State Moneyline. Talk about a heart attack against Arizona. And he had Arizona State too. Yes. You know, the Pac-12 hasn't treated us too bad. We've been doing pretty well with the Pac-12 this weekend. Ryan Hasty goes, I got Florida State to win the Natty at 71 early, the one, or 71 early in the season. It would be nice if they pull that off. All I said in the preseason, I was very high on this Florida State team. I had them picked fifth in the ACC. I feel like nobody else in the world was crazy enough to do that because it was viewed at the time to be crazy. I think I was laughed at on this show by our guest. I think it was Will. for that ACC show.
But Florida State has been everything that I thought they were going to be. And if they get into the postseason, this is what I said at the beginning of the year. If they get into the postseason, then they're going to be playing ball for Mike Martin. He was their legendary coach for 40 years, passed away this offseason. Baseball gods tend to come back around and help you out in the postseason if you deserve it. And I think Florida State as a program, one of the you kind of hesitate to call a program a blue blood if they don't have a national championship, but Florida State's do. They define the definition of do. Ryan Hasty says, likes for Noah grinding three nights in a row. Yeah, shout out to Hasty. He helps me with the self-promotion, which I suck at, and I've been very transparent about that. But yeah, any like, subscription is wonderful. We thank you guys very much. That's the other thing. So like with the sunflower seeds that I'm planning on giving away here, the Chinook Seedery sunflower seeds, drop a review on either Spotify or Apple or whatever podcast platform you listen to. Take a screenshot of the review, DM it to me on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, or DM the show at TCE on SGPN on any social media platform that we're on. I think we're even on Facebook, but I personally don't have Facebook. I've not responded to any DMs yet. I've counted 12 so far. So I love that you guys are leaving reviews. Thank you guys very, very much. But just me running around with my head cut off today, and then Friday being in Ann Arbor in person, I just haven't gotten to those DMs yet. And I know I just want to sit down, knock them out, and send some bags of seeds all at one time, all on one day. I'll handle that at the beginning of this upcoming week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when I have free time before I'm in downtown Detroit the entire weekend there. Mike says, any other flyer picks that you like tomorrow or leans? Last night till 4 a.m. was great. Let's keep it rolling. Yeah, I expect more of these shows for sure for the weekends upcoming. I think the ones that I liked, but you know, I'm just too passive a better. Like, I'm not a huge volume better myself, but I feel like I have a pretty good system of handicapping these games for college baseball. I don't have the bankroll to be a volume better, honestly. But some of the leans that I felt pretty good about were Kentucky -115 against Tennessee. I liked Georgia Tech at plus money against Virginia. They've already won one game in that series. Run it back. It's not too bad of a look. Georgia Tech was plus 150 against Virginia. So Georgia Tech and Kentucky are probably my two favorite. And then Miami -130 would be my third favorite. Miami, you can get the -130 price over at BetMGM. So those are my three, kind of the next man up leans there for sure. Mailman Mike 3 says, we need to get Noah a soundboard. I have a tablet now. At one point I didn't. This is kind of replacing my computer on the go, because my computer needs to be plugged in to a wall outlet to work. It's overdue for me to get a new computer. This one's gotten me all the way through college. The first 3 years with SGPN now, crazy to say, it's 2.5 years with them. But yeah, I'm in need of a new computer, but the tablet is serving as taking it on the road. I've got a keyboard for it and everything. But Colby uses a tablet with just sounds. I just got to get his sounds and whatever he uses to plug it into the computer to play. Mike says, Noah, I got you on a reviews post show on Apple. I'll do all the TCE ones while I'm at it. Thank you very much, Mike. You are the man. He says, you guys are all the goats. You're a goat, dude. And he threw a saxophone in there for the We Believe in East Carolina song. You know he's a true listener. But that's going to do it for me here today. Thank you all for listening. You've been experiencing the college baseball, or you've been listening to the college baseball experience. You better start thinking about yours your college experience. Adios, amigos.